Controversial.
If driving through the roads is a getting the macabre done, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Aroho Obu at the public square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria.
Well, welcome back, and the public square begins, and when it's quarter to four, you know that Ayobe is in the studio, the host of Ideas, which opens the square to everyone. Remember that you can join the conversation on WhatsApp 0809-597-5805, and then this has been streamed live on Facebook and YouTube, so you can hurry to at Nigeria Info FM, where we have the discussion up and running. And Ayo.
Good afternoon,
Good afternoon. Excellent. And yesterday was World Anti-Corruption Day, and there's plenty of, to talk about.
Indeed. It's very funny, or it's not necessarily very funny, but the way that World Anti-Corruption Day is followed by World Human Rights Day, because of the effect that we know that corruption has on the rights of people.
Yes, absolutely. And so there's a lot for us to talk about and for people to know, I can imagine, around assets recovery, I understand.
Yes.
And you know, disposal procedures.
Well, I have a guest who is a well-known columnist, and he is also a TV presenter, host, in Abuja, though. Mm. But people will be familiar with him as a columnist in Punch, and his name is Jide Ojo, and he's joining us, I hope, online.
Right. Hello, Jide.
Good afternoon.
No, good afternoon, Jide.
Good afternoon, Ayo. How are you?
I'm fine, and I hope that everything is fine up there in Abuja.
We are hoping so. At least in my corner of Abuja is calm.
Well, we are talking today about the issue of assets recovered from the proceeds of criminal activity and corruption. But it does strike me that when you start to hear of assaults on homes in Abuja, and people being kidnapped, we made the issue of proceeds of crime, they're becoming a little bit closer than you might want them to come.
The issue of proceeds of crime is not a latter day development. It's been there as long as issue of corruption have been in public discourse, and that's even from the pre-colonial era. People have had their process of crime seized by the kingship, even during the monarchy years, when it is the monarchy that was the head of communities. You hear that if somebody steals somebody's else property, you are made to pay fines, your property may be confiscated and all of that. But when we talk of process of crime in the contemporary times, we are looking more at the logical, methodical ways on which assets from criminal suspects who have embezzled public funds are retrieved and managed for public good.
And can we just ask, when we talk about proceeds of crime being recovered, are we talking about just the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, or are we talking about other agencies like the Independent Corrupt Practices Commission? How many agencies are we really talking about, not to mention the Nigeria Police Force?
We are looking at about 29.
Oh, my gosh.
29 agencies, ministries, parastatals, who have the mandate to recover assets, from NDLEA to civil defense, to immigration, to Nigeria Customs Service, to even Fiscal Responsibility Commission, Bureau of Public Procurement, and several other agencies, ministries, departments. So there are quite a handful of them. But, when you talk about, anti-corruption, people narrow it down to three or four. Mm-hmm. They talk of EFCC, ICPC, then Code of Conduct Bureau, and Tribunal. But it goes, the net is wider. than that. And all of the agencies who are involved in anti-corruption also have the mandate to impound, confiscate, and got interim and final forfeiture of assets that are deemed to be proceeds of crime. Like you rightly mentioned, even the police have a SFU, Special Fraud Unit, mm-hmm. in Alagbonde in Lagos, who also have to do with recovery of assets, proceeds of crime, and all of that. So it's a very wide spectrum.
Can I ask Jide, is there any coordinating body? I mean, is it all under the Ministry of Justice? Do they coordinate? Is there a central register of assets that are being confiscated or recovered?
I'm pleased to disappoint you that there is no central asset register.
Why are you pleased to disappoint me?
Every one of the anti-corruption agencies work in silos. There is no standard operating procedures. Yes, people will keep his own register, ICPC does, the code of conduct. There is no central register where, with a glance, a database where you could say, oh, this is what we have recovered in the last month, and this is what we have been able to auction. These are the proceeds we have been able to recover, to make from the sales of those forfeited property. And this is what we have paid into the treasury of the federal government of Nigeria. You know, all manner of things. Mm-hmm. Even the Office of Attorney General, you know, in a recent article I wrote, which was on this last Wednesday, there was even a syndicate allegedly operating with impunity, ostensibly without the knowledge of the minister and the Attorney General of Nigeria. But, you know, this was a news story. It was an investigative report published by the Punch newspaper on November 29. And if you read the Punch newspaper editorial for this Wednesday, this last Tuesday, which is December 7th, it also dealt comprehensively with the issue of asset recovery and management challenge.
But can I ask them, can I just ask, because before I get away from this point, if there is no central registry, does each body keep its own registry of assets recovered, assets sold, money remitted to the Treasury? And is it something that anybody who has a Freedom of Information application can access?
I don't think so. They may have registered, but let me be more pointed. You see, the fixation is not even for me on the asset register, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Do you know that even when we are talking of asset recovery, we are talking of even process of kind that has been received from other countries, like the Abacha loot, Bori loot, mm-hmm. and all of that. And you find out that the public is only informed after the fact. Mm-hmm. They are not carried along. They will just tell you, oh, we are in receipt of 320 million Abacha loot, and we have spent it, or this is the way we have spent it. For instance, the first Abacha loot that was recovered, or that was received from New Jersey or somewhere, all the public was told was, oh, this money has been used for social investment program, and specifically that they have used it for conditional cash transfer. Was there an appropriation before that decision was taken? Was the National Assembly carried along? I wouldn't know. And that's why today you see Switzerland and some other countries giving conditions upon which they will release such looted funds.
In fact, I was going to ask you about that, because when we have this situation and then the countries from which this money is coming are putting these conditions, saying that and even talking about overseeing it, there's a great deal of national pride brought into it. But we are setting ourselves up. However, today we're going to have to break off briefly and we'll be back in 5 minutes. Do please stay with us.
Well, welcome back to the Public Square, and still I will be with Jide Ojo on ideas and looking at Corruption Day, which happened yesterday, and zeroing in on the Nigerian experience. And Ayo has been speaking with Jide Ojo. Ayo.
Thanks very much, Aloho. And Jide, thank you so much for waiting. You were talking about the fact that because of this opacity in the management of looted funds from abroad, that some of the countries which were being asked to return the funds were now imposing conditionalities. But not all the looted funds are coming from abroad. And we even have situations where places, houses are raided. I mean, we remember a case of money being stored inside a soakaway. There was the famous raid on the in Ikoyi on, it was said to be one of the directors of the state security services, and so on. And this is raw cash that is collected. What can we do to ensure that whether the money is coming from abroad or coming from inside Nigeria, that it is properly documented and accounted for? And as you said, how is it that the money is just spent without going through any appropriation procedure? Hello?
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yes, so my question is that how do we ensure that whether the money is coming from abroad or coming from within Nigeria, how do we ensure that it's going to be properly documented, accounted for, and properly appropriated and caught in the budget of the money that the federal government is spending?
Well, that is $1 million question, and I think that question should be directed to the authority. What I learned reliably is that the process of crime bill is still in the National Assembly. It has not been passed. Three critical bills, actually, that could have helped with the fight against corruption is still lying fallow at the National Assembly. First is the process of crime bill. Mm-hmm. The second one is the Auditor General bill, which it will interest you to say that Nigeria is still using 1956 ordinance law by the Auditor General of the Federation. Mm-hmm. And that is one agency, or is it a department of government that is supposed to audit the finance of all the 900 ministries, departments, and agencies of government, mm-hmm. still using pre-colonial laws. Then the third one is the whistleblower protection law. Right now, what we have is whistleblower policy, which is highly inadequate mm-hmm. to protect anyone that wants to engage in whistleblowing to assist in the anti-corruption. So what I'm saying invariably is that unless and until we have the process of crime bill passed into law, which articulates comprehensively how the asset recovery, recovered assets will be managed, and then we can deal with the issue of process of crime in a very methodical, logical, and transparent manner. Each of the anti-corruption ministry, department, and agencies will continue to work in silos and do what they like. You possibly have heard of customs impounding bales of clothing, yes, poultry yes. products, cars, so many things.
But and yet, what happens to them?
When they are auctioned off.
In fact, the whole auction process is very opaque. But I think
it's
the point
is opaque. Yes, so that's what we are saying. Mm-hmm. You also have heard of NCDC saying that they have confiscated some trucks that are involved in illegal bunkering mm-hmm. or trucking of petroleum products. You don't know what happens. Mm-hmm. And then the bigger challenge is even that how do we even manage some of the confiscated items that are perishable.
Yes.
For instance, if you read the editorial of the Punch of Tuesday, 7th of December, it talked about some of the ships that EFCC have confiscated sinking on the sea. They are sinking because there's no management of how to properly manage those ships. All the people working on the ships will have been either arrested or some have been laid off, even with their staff. And I think the larger challenge for me is in the case of asset management or management of recovered assets.
That's where you have a going concern, like an hotel or a...
Exactly, hotels, radio stations, fuel stations, office apartments, residential apartments. When you have an interim forfeiture order on them, should you lay off those staff or should you get an interim manager to continue to manage and ensure that whatever is being paid, either for rent or lease of those places, is paid to a dedicated account in the Central Bank of Nigeria, so that when finally a final forfeiture order is gotten from the court, you can then dispose them of. But situations where you just impound, or you know, you possibly have seen the FCC keep off red paints on many buildings around Nigeria. And
then they just left to molder and decay.
They get dilapidated because the tenants in those offices or in those apartments are giving quick notice. Nobody is in those buildings, so they depreciate with time. If it's vehicle, the vehicles are grounded, they are useless. And that's why, because our court system, despite the administration of Criminal Justice Act 2015, ACJA, despite saying that all criminal cases should be disposed of within 6 months, we have seen that the list for any prosecution of any corrupt person, particularly if that person is politically exposed person, is between 8 to 12 years. In those 8 to 12 years, where you have impounded or you have gotten an interim forfeiture order on their property, what happens to those properties in those long periods? Except they go into plea bargaining, then that could be shortened to maybe 1 year, 2 years. And people have criticized the plea bargaining procedures in Nigeria that it even encourages corruption because these people still get,
they go away with part of their
and they still retain the larger part of their process of crime.
But Jide, can I ask you? I mean, because I'm afraid we've come to the end of our 15 minutes of fame, and it does seem to me that what you're saying when you talk about the Proceeds of Crime Bill, the Auditor General Bill, and the whistleblowers, the
protection,
bringing that into law, it seems to me that it's not that we don't have the possibility of some tools to solve this problem and to make the guardians accountable to the people who are acting on our behalf, to make them accountable. So why is it, do you think, that we are not actually taking these basic steps to get our anti-corruption and management of seized assets on track? Because, as you say, it does make it look as though our anti-corruption stance is very much on paper and with words. But when the opportunity to do something concrete comes, we seem to be found missing in action.
Yeah, because there's no political will to do the right thing.
But if the government came in on an anti-corruption platform, wouldn't they?
It's just out there. It's out there.
But what can we do to make it cold air?
If the National Assembly were to be committed, if the presidency were to be committed, they would have worked collaboratively to pass those laws. But look at Auditor General's report every year that goes to the National Assembly. It has become the burial ground of those reports.
Yes.
Nothing is ever done on those reports. And we are still using the 1956 Ordinance Law to fight corruption in 2021. Who does that?
Well, we must hope that when people become aware of these gaps and these lapses, that they are going to be making demands of their legislators and other elected representatives, so that the idea that these lapses, these gaps, are not plugged and filled will be something that they start to fear.
I hope so. Let me send this last note of warning. The civil society groups have been asking the Attorney General and Minister of Justice to make public the NCDC and NDDC forensic report, which has been asking for around the.
Yes, the minister says that it's still being considered by the president.
It has not been published, and we are worried that as we move into an election year, without us knowing who and who is supposed to return and refund what, who and who has been indicted, then it will become paddy-paddy next year.
It's always a danger.
Because people that are indicted are politically exposed persons who might even want to contest in 2023.
And so who might be politically useful to...
A report of forensic audit that was done for over 1 year. I mean, it's just lack of political will that's making everything to be steady.
Well, Jide, I want to thank you very much for helping us to shed some important light on this matter. And we hope that the more light that is shed, the more those who are actually holding the knife and the yam will get busy and make sure that they take action so that we all benefit from the anti-corruption activities that don't let them turn into more acts that need more anti-corruption enforcement. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jide.
My pleasure. Have a nice weekend.
Wish you the same.
All right. And that's ideas and a big discussion I just had. And of course, you can go on social media and watch it again. Interesting comments I see. David Kanu says, I think the world people everywhere are comfortable with corruption. Why are they fostering, abiding, or encouraging it in every sector of our lives? Additional, Bola Joko says, corruption thrives in the country because of impunity. If only the perpetrators are adequately punished, that will serve as deterrents to others. Mm. All right. Thank you very much.
And, thank you so much, Adol.
And thank you, Ayo, for opening the square. All right. Public Square will continue. We go to...